beautiful.
I think 7 million.
You might be Yoshua, you know, since like Yoshua, he helped organize things for Moshe and Shia.
The schooling, apparently, the
school won an award for this. Wishing everyone a Shavua Tov, Kodesh Tov, and Parshas Vayishlach. I wanted to give a little introduction of what my goal is here today. The whole Shia is going to be focused on the Shalah. He's known in the yeshiva world as Shalah HaKadosh, the Holy Shalah. He lived about 2.5 centuries ago, a little bit more. His name was Horovitz. And it, to me, you know, it would be an appropriate question to ask Rabbi Berzon, why are you giving a shir on the Shalah? Who understands the Shalah? No one understands the Shalah, right? The Shalah is so much based on Kabbalah, concepts that are very foreign to us. And the truth is that even for Parshas Vayishlach, his interpretation is largely based on Kabbalistic concepts. But I have three goals for today. The first goal is, I think this piece in the Shalah will teach us how to learn Chumash. And even if we don't understand all his answers, but we have to imitate his questions. He reads the Torah so meticulously that he calls to our attention things that maybe we would have missed with a blink of the eye. And I think that's important. That's an important training, to see how we have to read every word, every verse in the Torah very meticulously. That's one of my goals here. Perhaps that's my primary goal. My secondary goal is to appreciate or perhaps even critique Rashi. Now, when I say to critique Rashi, you know, Rabbi Berzon is not a person to critique Rashi. Rashi is above, you know, above criticism. But the Shalah actually critiques Rashi.
I found two of his svarim.
Okay.
So I just don't know which
the one that we're looking for. On, I think I wrote to you in the email, pages 37, 38, or something like that.
And it
should be on the topic of Bikurim.
Is this in the Drushes one, or do you think the Chidush and Biuri Sugis?
Yeah, Biuri Sugis.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if it's on Makis Daf Yud Ches, or there's a Pal Sugin Gittin.
Oh, okay, because it is based on the...
But it should be a piece on Bikurim.
I think it's Makis. Okay, 37.
Makis Yud Ches on Min Beis. See if you can find it. The exact pages I don't remember, I sent it to you in the email. I'm just teaching Chumash, so
yeah.
All right. Okay, so, you know, who can critique Rashi? But the Shalah can critique Rashi. So that's, I find, very fascinating. My third goal is to try to appreciate the encounter between Yaakov and Esav based on the Shalah's insights into Kabbalah, into mysticism. And again, my apologies to you if I don't understand the mysticism, and it's only on a certain level, but I think we'll get something out of it. So that's my goal as we go to battle here, okay? So if you want to open up to your blue chumashim, to the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, We're already a little bit in trouble, according to the Shalah, with Rashi at the beginning of Vayishlach. Because Rashi vacillates back and forth as to what exactly is the nature of these malachim that Yaakov sends to Esau. Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefanach. Now the word malach in Lashon Kodesh means one of two things. It could mean either of these two things. It could either be a shaliach, it's called a malach, or an angel, a divine, you know, spiritual angel is called a malach. And Rashi takes one particular view here. If you take a look at the first Rashi, very famous Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, and this is on page 77 in your blue chumashim, and Rashi says, malachim mamish. So these are real, real angels. And the Shalah makes the following comment. He says, Pirish Rashi, this is number 3 on your page, Malachim Mamish. Now, Rabbi Sam, what we're going to do here, and I want to publicly thank Rabbi Daniel Gladstein. If I ever meet the man, I'll be excited to thank him. What he does is he takes the Shalah. You have 4 pages, am I correct? 4 sides? All of this is the Shalah. But what he does, Rabbi Gladstein, is he splices into the Shalah the text that the Shalah is commenting on. So that does us a great favor. So we're not going to read the Shalah, pages and pages of Shalah, Kiseder. What we're going to do is we're going to cut up the Shalah and interject all the sources that the Shalah is quoting into the cut up of the Shalah, if you're following me. So he starts at number 3, and he says, Kasha. Hech nishtavesh Yaakov bekodesh bechinam. Wow, this is wild. If you have angels and you can get access to these angels and you could use them for your purposes, would you hesitate? Tom, imagine I gave you a group of angels and I said to you, Tom, they're at your beck and call. You tell them, send them on the next flight to Australia. I don't know where. So would you hesitate? Would you be inhibited? So the Shalah says, absolutely, you have to be inhibited. In fact, the Gemara goes as far as to say that you're not allowed to even use the services of a Talmud Chacham. How much more so of a heavenly angel? And why does Yaakov have a right, Bechinam, Lishloach Malachi Ashores, Hayyachal Lishloach Bnei Adam? In other words, fundamentally, says the Shalah, we have to understand and answer the following question. If Yaakov's purpose is simply, from beginning to end, is to send a message to Esav, he can send a message to Esav through human agents. He doesn't have to send malachim. Hello, also l'shtamesh, the Gemara says in Megillah, b'manditani. Manditani is someone who studied Torah. How much more so somebody who studies Torah and teaches Torah, you're not allowed to use. And the Shalah is assuming that if you're not allowed to use a Talmud Chacham, how much more so an angel who sees the Aspaklaria Hameira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he recites Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Why? But again, even if you don't accept the premise of the Shalah, the point that the Shalah is making is a very good point. Why send Malachim Mamish? Why? What's the Yitaron here? What's the surplus, the advantage of sending Malachim? And then he quotes that even a Kohen in our time, we're not sure exactly about the status of our Kohenim today. Gershon, don't get insulted, but we're not sure if they're Miuchasim, if they're not Miuchasim. When the Mikdash will be rebuilt, there's going to be a massive gravitational move of all the Kohenim, and we're going to slow them down a little. We're going to ask for some paperwork. After all, this is the state of Israel. We're into bureaucracy here, right? And then the Shalah is bothered because the Medrash tells us that there's a machlokes between the Chachamim and other Tanoim as to how to interpret the word Malachim. In fact, the Medrash opens with the opinion Malachim elu shluchei basav adam, that these Malachim were humans, where the Rabbanan disagree and they say Malachim mamish. But Rashi chose the high road and he said these are Malachim mamish. But in fact, in the Medrash there are two views about that. Who are these Malachim that Yaakov actually sent? Now, if you have your Chumashim open, now we're going to look at Pasuk Vav. Right, we started Perek Lamed Pasuk Dalet. Let's just fast forward to Pasuk Vav, which is on your page 78. And it says, Vayhili shar v'chamar tzon v'yevet v'shivcha v'shlecha l'agid l'adoni l'mso chen v'enech. This is the substance of the shlichus that was sent to Esau. Now these malachim, again, whether they're malachim mamish or basav adam, where were they sent to, meaning location-wise? Locate geographically. Where would they find the Esav? So if you look at the Torah at the beginning of the parsha, it says, Arza Seir, stay Edom. The Shalah claims that that's called Kefel Haloshon. Okay? And what does that mean, Kefel Haloshon? It's actually redundant. Because there's no difference between Arza Seir and stay Edom. Seir and Edom are synonymous, interchangeable terms. And therefore, if you take a look at number 5, the comment of the Shalah is, Lama Hizkir Kefel Haloshon. So again, Rabbi said, my thesis in, and I'm talking to myself here, if I give Musa, but my Musa to myself is that we read this Pasuk a million times, and we never realize that there are superfluous words here. The Torah is not verbose, the Torah is very, very stingy on ink, very abridged. And here's the Kefal Lashon. He says, Yesh Omrim, the Arta Seir Remez, La Bracho Shalokach Mimenu Belevishas Gedie Izim Shayodov Seiros. Esav had, you know, he had hairy arms. And Yaakov Avinu, when he took the brachos and he presented himself as Esav, he wore gidei izim. You know, these goats that had hairs that are called goats are called seir or seira in feminine. So that the Torah itself wants to tell you that Yaakov Avinu, in a sense, is admitting his crime when he sends to Esav this, you know, and he sends the shluchim, and he's indicating what's the source of the problem here, what created the friction and the animosity of Esav to Yaakov. It's the fact that he was seir, he was wearing these yadayim seiros, and stay Edom is a remez to the fact that Hatavshil Ha'adom. You may remember that the request of Esav was for the lentils, and the lentils were red lentils. Today, if you go to the makolet, you can buy red lentils, you can buy white lentils, different kind of black lentils. I don't know. Every cook has, every balabosta has her own preference, which lentils she likes to cook with. But there's something called red lentils, and Adom is red. So this is again another remez which alludes to the fact that Esav was cheated out of the Bechorah because Yaakov dressed up and presented himself as Esav, and he sold, and Esav even before that had sold the Bechorah to Yaakov for the stay Edom, for the red lentils. Now, why is this an introduction to this whole parasha? Why is it very important that Yaakov at least alludes to these two things? Is Yaakov rotzel lefayis ala kol? That Yaakov wanted to pacify Esav for both the, you know, pressing and pressuring Esav to sell the Bechorah for the Nezir Adoshim, and also for presenting himself with this Gedizei Izim of the Seiros as if he were Esav, and he stole the brachos. And the Shalah adds the following comment. Please underline these four words. Avol zehu derech drush. Do you think that's a compliment or the opposite? It's the opposite, right? He's pointing out here that ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto. He's not, his rational mind is not satisfied with this answer. Again, shivim panim laTorah. And drush is one of, you know, we say the Torah is paradise, pshat, remez, drush, and so on. So there's definitely a good drush over here. And the Shalom would give you an A in homiletics. You know, Yeshiva University, if you want to study for the rabbinate, you have to take homiletics. Homiletics 1.2, you know, before you get your rabbinic ordination. So if you're applying for rabbinic ordination for a modern Western culture community, you know, in Israel somewhere, I'll give you an A in the course. But at the end of the day, there's still a question left here, unresolved, that's called Kefel Halosh. So as I said at the outset here, I'm less interested in what the Shalah has to say than I am in the method that he trains our mind to be very critical and you know, require high standards for understanding the Torah.
I would imagine it would be just the reverse. And if he brings these things up, it would further exacerbate Esau's animosity.
Right. So again, the whole parasha is going to address these two elements, you know, according to the Darshanim. But the Shalah is going to claim that the Darshanim went off the you know, they veered off the beaten path because there's a much more direct approach to this parasha, which is going to answer all these questions. I would love it if somebody here would be my scorecard and take a list of how many different questions the Shalah is going to try to answer with one thesis. You know, this is what we call, in the yeshiva world, we call it a chabura. Chabura is you come in and you ask 10 questions, and then boom, you bomb with some revolutionary new idea, and then you answer all the 10 questions. So far, I think we have two questions. Question number one is the Kefa Lashon of Arza Seir Stei Adom. And question number two is the nature of these malachim, and if Rashi's right, and Rashi accepts the second opinion of the Rabbanan in the Medrash, that these are malachim mamish, How and why was Yaakov utilizing the services of Malach? Now we get to question number three. Yaakov sends a very cryptic message to Esav through these Malach. And he says, now look at the language. Kosomrun ladoni. What's the next word? Rabosa in Posuk Hey, which is again on the top of your page 78. Le'esav. Does anybody know? Again, Shalom is pointing out something that we could blink and miss. There's an extra letter over here. Which letter? The Lamed. It should have said Ladoni Esav. Again, if you look at the next few words, again, it's something strange. Ko amar avdecha Yaakov im lovan garti va'echar ad ata. Now, notice what's going on over here. It says va'yitzav osom lemar. What does lemar mean? How would you translate lemar? Thusly, if you follow what I mean. And then it says ko somrun. Well, what do you mean, Kosomrun? You just told me thusly. In other words, drop the Kosomrun and you lose nothing. It could have said, Vayetzavo Sam Lemar Ladoni Lesov, to tell thusly to my master Esav. So says the Shalom number 7, Lemar Visomrun Kefel Lashon. This is question number 3. If you just drop one of those two words, you can choose which one you want to omit, you'll still end up with the same meaning. Again, if we had a lot of time, we would study this. But this is question number 3. Now look at question number 4. Ladoni le'esav. Okay, here he has 2 questions. First of all, why do we need Ladoni and le'esav? We know that he's sending the malachim to whom? To Esav. So he could have just said le'esav. Elo, what, he wants to give him covenant and call him Adoni, my master. Okay, he didn't have to add le'esav. And finally, question number 5, I think, if we're up to it. V'od havili l'meir l'adoni Esav. Mazel le'esav. Then we get to the substance of the message. And that is, again, number 6. That's Pasuk Hey, on the top of your page 78. In love on Garti. Well, what's this all about? So again, a critique on Rashi. Rashi says, number 1, because Rashi is going to change his tune in a second, which Rashi often offers 2 alternatives. This is another case of that. Garti. What is Garti? Now, Rashi in the first pshat says that you take the word Garti and you look at the root of the word is a ger. Now, you know, you and I say when we hear the word ger, we think of a convert, but that's not really what the word ger means. Ger means a sojourner. You know, in my father's day back in America, I don't know if this will mean anything to anybody here, there was something called a green card. You know, the Yiddish-speaking immigrants who came to America, including my father, were called by the local American boys, they called the greeners, right? So a ger is a greener. You know, he's only here on a temporary visa. You know, he's got a B2, and they're about to expel him from the land because he didn't fill out his citizenship papers and it fulfill his citizenship requirements. So lo na seisi sar v'choshev el ger. Ger means that Avraham Avinu is saying, I'm very humble. I'm shafel. And therefore, Encha Kedai Lesnos. You know, if you hate somebody because he stole your brachos, it's because, you know, the brachos were meant to uplift him to a higher level, and I'm on a low level. I'm a nobody here in town. You know, nobody even pays attention to me. I'm like a fifth column here. So therefore, the brachos that you're so upset about, Esav, Lonis Kaimon B. So again, Rashi is saying that Esav should be compassionate with Yaakov because of Yaakov's lowly nature, right? Dover Acher. Now Rashi has a totally different pshat. Garti bigamatria taryag. Klomar. This is what we remember from our second grade. In love on a Rasha garti v'taryag mitzvah shamarti l'olmati v'masav haroy. Now the second shot is, how would you describe it? It is not the specifics. I mean, the specifics are that he Yaakov is claiming he observed the mitzvahs despite the influence of love on a Russia. But if you want to describe the you know, the ambiance of the second pshat, the ambiance of the first pshat was shiflus. You know, I'm a nobody here. Nobody pays any attention to me. He's not boasting. He's on the contrary. He's putting himself down. But Gershon, how would you describe the davar acher of Rashi?
I think he's taking a poke at Esav. I was with Lavan. I kept the mitzvot. You lived with, and he says avicha, not avinu. No. But you living with Yitzchak couldn't keep the mitzvot, and I kept them with Lavan. So maybe
everything is correct. But what? I'm just asking for a one word answer. So because I want to explain, I'm just trying to explain the shalah. Is it shiflus? Is he putting himself down, Yaakov Avinu, or is it the opposite of shiflus? Is he right? He's boasting. He's boasting that here I was under the influence. So if you take a look, Rashi, this is the number 9, the Shalos comment is Rashi also shnei perushim v'heim kim'at shnei hafachim. It's very odd that Rashi should go min hakotzel hakotzel from one extreme to the other. Mitchila perish garati loshon geirish u shiflus v'akach perish garati tag mitzvah tishuvinyan shalis roimus. So what will it be over here, Rashi? You know, can you take a vote and stick to your party line? Is it shiflus or is it gaiva and it's roimus? Again, I'm fascinated here. Before we get to the breakthrough of the Shalah, which is very Kabbalistic, I just want to learn a Derech HaLimud from the Shalah. You know, he's most well known in the world for his mystical insights. But look at him as a parshan, as you know, as learning pshat. Number 10. Okay, now we fast forward to the return of the Malachim. This is in Pasuk Zayin on page 78. And here, Vayeshuva Malachim El Yaakov Lemer, Banu El Achicha El Esav. You can already guess what the Shalah. Here, the truth is, I don't need the Shalah. Even without the Shalah, I would have guessed this on my own. What's this again? Kefaloshon. Are you with me, Rabosai? El Achicha El Esav. That's comment number, you know, here it's source number 11. Okay, fine. Now, what does Yaakov respond to this notification that Esav is coming with 400 people, right? An army, a battalion and an army of 400 soldiers. And obviously the answer is in the next pasuk Ches, Vayira Yaakov mi'od, and then it says Vayetzer lo. So again, we're gonna raise the question, what's the double language? So Rashi is very sensitive to this double language. And Rashi comments, he says, Vayira Vayetzer, both are forms of fear and anguish. And Rashi says, Vayira, what is the first Vayira? That's Shema Yehorek. This reminds me, if you don't mind, of Golda Meir. Do you remember the famous statement of Golda Meir? I can forgive the Arabs for killing our children, but I can never forgive the Arabs for making our children into killers, right? You know, again, I'm not sure I agree with her about that, but you know, she was a good Yiddish mama. She did a lot for Soviet Jewry, anyway. So what does it say over here? It says, Vayira Shema Yehoreg. He was overwhelmed by awesome fear because he might get killed. Vayitza lo im yarog hu esacherim. He'll have to kill others. The Shalah doesn't even comment on this Rashi. He just says in number 14, it's a kefal lashon v'Rashi kosev mashe kosev. You know, like, read the Rashi and decide for yourself whether you buy into Rashi's thesis. Obviously, the Shalah is an unhappy camper. Then, so again, I don't know what question number we're up to here. It's probably about question number 8 or so. I don't know.
I have 6 so far.
6? Okay, so this is question number 6. What's the double language?
The new one is, we finished it. I counted 6 so far.
Okay, so Vayira and Vayetza. That's number 6, correct? Okay, fine. So we have El Achicha, El Esav would be number 5. And then we have the, you know, how to understand the Garti. You know, what does Garti mean? Because Rashi gives us 2 Perushim, which the Shalah cannot accept, and they're antithetical and mutually exclusive. Now we're up to Pasuk Yud, on the same page. Vayomer Yaakov, Elokei Avi Avraham, Velokei Avi Yitzchak. Okay, now here, when he gets to Yitzchak, he uses the same terminology as he uses Avraham, and he calls him Elokei Avi Yitzchak. Okay, now to appreciate the next question, we're going to have to go back to Perek Lamed Aleph, and there you'll see that there's a different terminology used with regard to Yitzchak. Okay, that's going to be Pasuk Mem Beis. Let's see if we can find this. If anybody tells me what page it's on, I would appreciate it. I think it's page 76.
76, yes, sir.
Okay. And it says over there, it says, Elokei Avi. And then he says, Elokei Avraham. So far, it's pretty consistent. But then he says, Upachad Yitzchak. Okay, now, the Shalom is very sensitive to this. And this is number 16, before we turn the page. He says, Elokei Avi Avraham, Elokei Avi Yitzchak, Ulahalon, Hu Omer Upachad Yitzchak. Not sure what he means by Lahalon. Okay. The Ode, and a further question. So first, the first question is the discrepancy between Elokei Yitzchak and then Upachad Yitzchak. And then another question is, if you look at the Pasuk Yud inside, it says Yudkei Vavkei. Ha'omer Eli. I mean, he just finished describing God as the God of my fathers, Avram and Yitzchak. And then he again, he named, you know, why does he again have to mention God? And in this case, it's God's Shem HaMiyuchad. And once again, the Shalom is not impressed with Rashi. We can take a look at Rashi here on the Pasuk. And Rashi says, Elakach Omar Yaakov, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shtei Avtochas Hivtachtali. Okay, we don't have time for the whole Rashi, so you'll take a look at the Rashi. Anyway, the Shalom is not happy with the Rashi. Now, if you turn the page on the other side, you'll see that we're fast-forwarding to Pasuk Yud Aleph. And then again, this is part of the supplication of Yaakov to HaKadosh, directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he declares, Katoti mikol chasadim mikol emes asher sisa samtecha ki b'makli avarti es hayardein hazeh. So what's b'makli? So Rashi says that Yaakov is claiming poverty over here. Lo hoya imi lo kesev lo zova ela makli bilvad. It's a little bit odd that Yaakov is saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm so poor, and all I'm left with is this staff. Medrash Agada, Nosan Maklo B'Yardein V'Nivka HaMaka. HaYardein, V'Nivka HaYardein. So Yaakov is claiming that I took the staff, and with that I was able to split the Yardein. So once again, the Shalom is very sensitive to the fact that Rashi is offering two interpretations, and they're polar opposites one of the other. They're mutually exclusive, because the first pshat is that shiftless, that Yaakov Avinu is penniless. Right? Huram me'ashpos evyon. In other words, he's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take him from the rubbish, you know, and pick him up. But then the Dover Acher says that Yaakov Avinu is boasting his Romamus about the fact that he was able to perform this amazing miracle and split the Yarden with the Makel. So the Shalom, you can imagine, is again not a happy camper that Rashi should offer two Perushim that are polar extremes, one or the other. So I don't know what question we're up to, but that should be number 8 or 9 or 10 or something like
nine.
That. Now we're up to Pasuk Yud Beis. Again, it's going to be a kefa lashon. Take a look. Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad esav. You know, as if Yaakov is compelled to tell the Ribbono Shel Olam that, you know, this is my brother and his name is Esav. Like you know, my high. Like, what's the chiddush over here? And that's what the Shalom comments in number 21. Hu gam ken kefel. Again, a repetition. And then when Yaakov presents to the Ribbono Shel Olam his fear, he says, "Vikani aim al bonim." Now, Rabosai, in the grammatical Hebrew, you know the distinction between singular and plural. How would you describe bonim? How would you classify that?
Plural.
That's plural. But aim
is
singular. And in this case, Yaakov Avinu has 12 sons and also a daughter, and he has 4 wives. So there are many imahos over here. So therefore, the Shalom points out, and again, we could have missed this like with a blink, Imos al b'neim hayalolomar. You know, we're so used to the psukim because we hear this at least 3 times, you know, every year, that it becomes like by rote memory. You know, it says v'ikani eim al abonim. Whoever thought that? Wait a minute, it should have said Imos al b'neim. And he says that the Medrash Rabbah picks up on this, but again, he, the Shalom, is not happy because he thinks it's Derech Drush. It's not going to satisfy the rational mind on Al Aim Mikriyotzin De Pshuto. And it says Ha'eim al Abonim elsewhere. Where does it say Ha'eim al Abonim elsewhere? Yeshiluach HaKai. So in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you commanded us, you know, not to take the fledglings in the presence of the mother, and you're going to allow Esav to kill, Chas V'Shalom, to kill the children in the presence of their mothers. How can you allow such a thing? That's the Medrash. But he says that's only Derech Drash.
But there it really is Ha'eim al Abonim.
Correct. It's a brilliant chop of the Medrash's point, because the pasuk is literally, you know, word for word identical in both parashiyos. And if anybody knows even the first thing about Medrash Rabbah, it's a play. You know, it's a word search game. You know, now we have computers for this. You know, we could today write our own midrashim based on word searches. But here's a beautiful word search, Ha'eim al Abonim, in both contexts. But again, it doesn't really reveal the pshuto shel mikra. Now he moves forward. This is already on page 79, and we're up to pasuk yud ches. And here it says Vayitzaves harishon lemar, and he tells the first of the shluchim that, you know, when you meet Esav, my brother Esav, he's going to ask you lemiata v'onatelech ulemi elulafanecha. The shalom is not a happy camper here. He doesn't understand. There's such arichus lashon here. You know, why the Torah, the eternal Torah for all posterity, has to give us lemiata v'onatelech ulemi elulafanecha? What's this all about? And then he fast forwards to pasuk yutes v'amarta. What's going to be your response to Esav? Li'avdecha li'Yakov. And this bothers the mind of the shalah. Again, I was very happy when I read these words li'avdecha li'Yakov, because then Yaakov wants to, you know, sort of show his shiftless in front of Esav. Esav, you're the sar. I'm just an eved. But he says it should have said li'avdecha Yaakov. You remember that we had this question earlier, if you go back to page 1, where he said about Esav is, what was the pasuk there? Le'esav, where was that? Number 6, right? In pasuk Hey, it says la'adoni le'esav. And here again, the shalah is pointing out, it says here, Li'Yakov, where is it? La'adoni le'esav. So, I'm sorry. It says li'avdecha li'Yakov. So it should have said li'avdecha Yaakov. Avdecha kama Yaakov. What's li'avdecha li'Yakov? The lamed is completely superfluous. And then it says in the pasuk, mincha hi shlucha la'adoni Esav, it should have said. It says instead, La'adoni le'esav. So there's another two questions to add to our list. By now we're already past 10. And then the final question is on top of the left column here. And he writes, V'al inyon asher kasavti os hei. He says the following, in order to appreciate... Actually, I made a mistake. This is not the last question. This is already the beginning of the answer. Now, I have, which I printed out from the Shalot itself, Os Hey, because for some reason, Os Hey doesn't appear on your papers. I'm not sure why. Now, Os Hey in the Shalot is a very long presentation. I'm going to try to give you a nutshell, you know, a summary of the Shalot's philosophy in a nutshell. And he says basically that there's Esav down here on this world. This is the mystical part of the Shalah. And then there's something in Shamayim, in the celestial worlds, that corresponds to Esav down here in heaven. And that's called Samael. Now the first two letters of Samael are Sam, which means a poison. The second two letters are the name of God, Aleph Lamed. And it's a very strange, paradoxical integration of something so negative. And basically, according to the Shalah, the Esav upstairs in Shamayim, which is called Samael, is on the one hand a Malach, but like the Malach HaMavis, has a combination of the holiness of a Malach, because at the end of the day, this Malach is created by God to fulfill God's will, and that gives it holiness. But at the same time, it's Malach HaMavis. It's the holy Malach that's going to bring about death into this world. What is the combination of Sam and El in the case of Samuel? And what is the Esav on high, which is called Samuel? What is its purpose? What is its mission as a Malach of Hashem? And he presents the following thesis. That the Esav on high, which is Samuel, is what we call the Kategor par excellence. Kategor is the prosecuting attorney. And the prosecuting attorney has the following job. It's supposed to come in front of the Kisei HaKavod, in front of the kingly heavenly court, and compare two visions. The vision of a person in the ideal perfect world and the vision of the person in the real world down here. And the purpose of Samuel is to show the discrepancy between these two individuals. Am I making myself clear? Should I review that? Maybe did I say it too fast or was crystal clear? Oh. So if anybody wants me to repeat it, please raise your hand, because I don't mind repeating it. No hands went up, so I don't know what that means. You know, that could mean many different things. So I'm going to go on. Anyway, so what's Samuel, what is he blabbing about up there in Shamayim, this sound, this very poisonous, toxic prosecution? He's looking at Yaakov down here. Because of his antagonism to Yaakov, he wants to say to the Ribbono Shalom that Yaakov down here on this earth does not live up to the standards of the ideal Yaakov up in Shamayim. But here, Samuel has a problem. Because Yaakov is Ish Tam. And Yaakov is really not guilty of sin in the classical sense. And Samuel is looking with a magnifying glass to try to find and discover some claim against Yaakov Avinu. And according to the Shalah, the claim of Esav, which is called Samuel up in heaven, against Yaakov, is that he's married to two sisters. And the Shalah points out that even though there are many explanations and justifications for why Yaakov married two sisters, some say the Ramban's famous for saying that he married them in Chutz Laretz and not in Eretz Yisrael, and Rachel died in Chutz as a whole to do in the Ramban. Others say that this was before Matan Torah. Others say that Yaakov understood that Rachel and Leah were going to create Knesset Yisrael, and therefore he had to marry them. Many, many different answers to the question of how Yaakov, I once gave a shiur on this, how Yaakov Avinu, I came up with, I think, 9 different answers about why Yaakov, how Yaakov was able to marry two sisters. But the bottom line is, after all the explanations and all the justifications, Yaakov is married to two sisters. Okay? Again, this requires a lot of thought, and as I said before, that's a to-do unto itself. Interesting that in Os Hey, which I'm trying to summarize now for you, the Shalah quotes a Medrash that compares Samuel to the Malach HaMoves and to a Gemara in Chulin that offers two interpretations as to how Samuel appears, in what guise does he appear. According to one, he appears as an Oved Kochavim, as an idol worshipper. According to the other opinion, he appears as a Talmud Chacham. And again, if you use the categories of Shalah, it's Davar V'Hipucho. This is, you know, Talmud Chacham is holy and high, and Oved Avodah Zarah is the lowest of the low. And the Shalah's view on this is Mar Omer Chadam Lo Pligi, that they're both saying the same thing. And Shneim Emes. Why? Because when you look at the way, you know, Esav presents himself or is presented, because there's Esav down here Lamata and then there's Samuel Lamala, it really has two different dimensions to it. It's Esav down here is the Oved Kochavim, you know, he's the Rosh Amarusha, that's Esav. But the Esav up in Shamayim, which is Samuel, has God's name in him. He's the El, he's the mighty angel of God. And therefore he looks like a Talmud Chacham in a sense, because Talmud Chacham is sanctified, he's uplifted with the Kiddush of Torah. So this is the paradox of Esav, that down here Esav is purely 100% evil, and he presents himself as an Oved Kochavim, he's a Rosh HaMarusha, but up in Shamayim, he has a different presentation, so to speak, and there he looks like a Talmud Chacham because he is, at the end of the day, he has Kedusha in the fact that he is representing HaKadosh Baruch as a Malach Hashem. And based on this thesis, again, this is the Shalom and Oshei, he has a Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim that Moshe Rabbeinu describes the Malach of Esav as Malach Elokim, as divine angels. And Ratzo Lislavish B'Levush Gashmi, and now this angel called Samael up in heaven wants to come down to earth and dress himself up, present himself as a physical, material human being, a mortal human being, flesh and blood. V'Nislavish B'Levushim Shel Basam Adam, he appears as a human being. Kedeli he avek imo, in order to confront and encounter Yaakov Avinu. And then it says that Kasher Nitzeach Yaakov Avinu also, when Yaakov at the end of the day, this is also here in the next part of Parashas Vayishlach, then Kisa Chelik Harasha Betocho V'Nasa Malach Tov. Somehow Yaakov by what's the word I'm looking for? When you don't succumb, when he perseveres. Oh, excellent. Usually the word doesn't come to me. But when Yaakov perseveres against the Malach of Esav, he's able to reduce or neutralize the evil element in the Malach Shel Esav, and then the Malach Shel Esav becomes a Malach Tov, and Yaakov paradoxically asks the Malach of Esav for a bracha. And now all of a sudden, you know, the Malach of Esav becomes a Chassidish Rebbe who's giving out brachas. And that's because the Malach element in it becomes superior. Anyway, that's all in Oshei. We're back here on page 2, and we're looking at number 28. V'ata, he says at this point, Afaresh, I want to interpret the Parsha, Ki Yad Hashem Atov Alai, as best as I can, based on what God has endowed me with, and to try to answer up all the questions that we raised over here, especially if you remember, amongst the questions, a whole bunch of them are about Kefel Lashon, the repetition of words, like, it says stay, Sayer and Edom, and it says Esav and Achi, and then it says this and it says that, and he says the following. He says, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lifanov. Now notice the word Lifanov. That word Lifanov is superfluous. It could have said, at the beginning of Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim El Esav. Why did it have to say Lifanov? So the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah at this point quotes the Machlokas that we saw earlier, whether these Malachim were angels or they were human beings. Da. And you have to know, okay, this is the part you want to underline here, because this is the punchline of everything we've been discussing. Shemilchemes Yaakov, this controversy, this confrontation between Yaakov and Esav Haisa Kfula. It's a double hybrid controversy, or confrontation. It's beguf v'nefesh. It's both gashmi and ruchni. Dahainu. Yaakov is facing a double adversary. He's facing Esav. Who's Esav? That's Esav Lamata, as we said, the Ovid Avodah Zarah, the Rasha. And he's also facing Samael Lamala, because the Sarah Shel Esav is coming to castigate, to prosecute against Yaakov. HaMakatreg HaGadol Hoyer Bo Achiza. And how did this Makatreg, this prosecutor, have any leg to stand on against Yaakov, who's an Ish Tam, Machmashtei Achyol Shenos, because he married two sisters, the Af, and even though I have to admit, Sheyesh Lo Teirutz Al Zeh, again, as I claim that there are many, many different answers, possibly, Mikol Makom, nevertheless, Yaakov at the end of the day is the highest level of man. He's Dmus Diukno Chakuka Tachas Kisei HaKavod. And therefore he's this divine image. How could it be that Yaakov is married to two sisters? This is not good. And the prosecuting attorney says that Yaakov can't be considered so holy and on such a high level if he's married to two sisters. And he says that the Gemara in Chulin, which you'll see quoted right above number 28, number 27, says that the Malachim who went up and down this ladder were very jealous of Yaakov. Why? Because when they went up to Shamayim, they got a glimpse of the perfect ideal Yaakov, and when they went down to the bottom and they came to earth, they saw the same exact image. Ubol l'sakuni, they wanted to kill him. Al kein sadku shneim yachtov, divrei rabosenu zal. In other words, now both opinions in the Chachamim are absolutely correct. Sha'amru, according to one opinion, Malachim Mamish, these were angels coming from the divine celestial spheres. V'yavu shluchei basav adam, the other opinion claims that they were human angels. Hakol emes, both of these are correct. They're both true. Why? Ki sholach lamato liesav shluchei basav adam. To Esav, down here on earth, he sends human messengers, emissaries. V'shalach, but up to Samael, who's also part of this whole attack against Yaakov. Uli Yeser HaMalachim, and not only Samael, but there's a whole group of angels up in Shamayim that are coming to threaten the life of Yaakov. Shalach Malachim Mamish. The Inyan Shlichus HaLamata LeEsav. What was the flavor or the ambiance of the message to Esav down here was Divriachna, was the shiflus that I'm low, Lekabalad, you are my master, you are my sar, V'alkein, Komash Etziva Loma LeEsav, anything that was sent to be actually sent to the Esav down here in this world, Hakol Divriachna, it's all words of humility. But however, v'inyan shlichus olamala, but if he wants to come and counter the adversary and the prosecute up in heaven and say, well, I am living up to the ideal standards and the demands that you've set for me, O God, who gilis chiyosav, he's got to replay, you know, here there's no room for humility, right? Because he's going to get knocked off over here if he can't come claim and put forward his credentials and his merits. Is Sidkoso, he's got to show how he was righteous. Lebala kitrug vakina, against those who are prosecuting and jealous of him. Al-Kain, when he comes to speak through the mouth of the angels, to the angel of Esav up on high, the Samuel, and his friends who are prosecuting, Divrei Gavoa Gavoa Ma'od. He's going to put Diburim on a very high level. You know, he's going to claim, well, I lived with Lavan, and all these years went by, and Lavan is a Russian, I wasn't influenced by it, but I was dedicated to the observance of mitzvahs. The Efshar, oh, this is an interesting twist here. He says there's a possibility to suggest that the Malachim, Mamish, according to, right, and we're saying both are correct, so even, you know, both opinions agree that he sent angels, real McCoy angels. What were these angels? How were they created? And the answer is, these were Yaakov's angels. Everybody has their own personal angels. Because Chazal tell us, based on a pasuk in Yeshaya, that every time a person does a good, righteous act, he creates what?
Angel.
A Malach Tov. And this Malach Tov is going to defend him up in Shamayim. It's a Mishnah Novos. Ratzalomar Malachim has Chuyos. These are the Malachim that Yaakov created, and now he's sending them at this very critical crossroads to defend him against the prosecution of Samuel, etc. Ki mikol avera nasa mashchis bar minon. Bar minon means of the style of that avera. So the mashchis, this terrible prosecuting angel, is a reflection of the nature of the crime. But mikol mitzvah nases malach. Every mitzvah generates a positive malach. And now, says the Shalai, can begin to understand the word lefanav. Let's go back to our original open pasuk. It says, "Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim lefanav." Why the word lefanav? So, in order to answer that question, you have to see a pasuk in Yeshaya Navi, and the pasuk says, "Vaholach lefanav tzidkecha." That the God promises that the Malachim will go lefanav in front of the person who's righteous, because these are the Malachim of righteousness that testify and were created, in fact, by the righteousness of a person. Ki atzdaka holech mamish ki nasa malach. How can you call tzdaka holech? How can you say that good deeds walk? I never saw a good deed walk. It doesn't have feet to walk. But the answer is the malach that's created by the good deed, that's the malach that's walking. the afshar, and therefore I can now suggest the possibility that the word lefanav, which is totally superfluous, it could have said vayishlach Yaakov malachim el Esav, but lefanav is a remez. It alludes to the fact that vaholach lefanecha tzidkecha, that the acts of righteousness and the merits of Yaakov are going in front, up on high, to contest against the prosecution of Samuel. Okay, he quotes the pasuk in Yeshaya here on the bottom of the page. V'holach lefanecha tzidkecha. And now we turn to page 3. And the Shalom wants to now answer up all his questions. He says, for example, what's the double language of Arza, Seir, Stei, Edom? Which is again in the opening verse of Parshas Vayishlach. Okay, let's just get it open so we have it. Of course, the Chumash closed on me. Sorry. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Arza Seir Stei Edom. Arza Seir Zeh Samuel. Okay, so he's sending the real Malachim, the genuine Malachim, up to Shamayim to Seir, because Seir is Samuel. And how do we know that Seir is Samuel? And the answer is, this we know from the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, because there was one goat that was sent as a Seir Lazazel, as a gift to Samuel. Okay, so he says you have to look in Os Chaf. He's going to go into great detail about how Samuel is called Seir and why he's called Seir. And then he says that Samuel is also called the Satan, which is identified in Baba Basra with the Yetzer Hara, Uli Amo Nidme Kiseir, that whenever the Yetzer Hara appears, he appears as Seir. And that's Gemara Masechta Sukkah Liyosid, Latzadikim Nidme Ayetzahar Kehar Ular Shoem Kechut HaSara, Sara from the word Seir. So there's some mountain that's called Har Seir, which is symbolic of the Yetzahara, which is identical with Samuel. The Tzadikim Nidme Kehar Mitzad Rishoem Kiseir. Okay, so the same Yetzahara appears. You know, the tzaddikim are going to say, wow, this was very difficult. How did I manage to overcome the Yetzer Hara? But the Rishayim will see it as a hair, a seir. You know, they'll realize that it would have been very easy for them. And this, of course, prosecutes against them that they couldn't overcome something that was thin as a hair. And that whole concept of Samuel, which is identical or synonymous with Seir, is because he is the sire up in heaven of Esav, because Esav is called Aderes Seir in the pasuk back in Parshas. What is it? Told us, I think, right? Mole Averos. He's full of sins. Alkein Karo Seir. So that's one identification of the location. It's Arza Seir. It's up to the heavens, to the Samuel up in heavens. And then, stay Edom. Edom is already a location down on earth. Hu Esav Lamata, and he's sending physical, biological, mortal emissaries to Esav down here to stay Edom. And Esav, which is Esav Lamata, is also called Edom. So he doesn't quote the Psukim, but there are many Psukim in Tanakh where Esav is called Edom. Vayitzavo som leimar ko somrun. You remember there's a double language here. It says leimar and somrun. He says, amira achas lamata. I'm sorry, lamala. Vamira achas lamala. Right, he's sending two groups of malachim, one to contest against Esav lamata, and the other is to contest Esav lamala. So there's got to be two amiros over here, because he's giving two messages that are being sent to two makablim, how do you say, two recipients, right? V'zeh l'adoni l'Esav. And then we ask the question, why is the extra lamed? He says, shnei lamedin, right, lamedim, la'adoni is one person, and that's the adon lamala, because in truth, the malach up in Shemayim, even though he's a malach of Sam and he's the prosecutor, but nevertheless he is sanctified because he's a malach of Hashem, and therefore he's called Adoni because he's really in truth the master of Yaakov. Yaakov is mortal, flesh and blood, whereas the malach up in Shemayim is eternal. And then lamata, it's le'esav. So the extra lamed is a mafrid, machalik. It's a lamed a machalik to separate the two recipients. You know, one is the recipient of Adoni. Adoni is reference to the malach of Esav, and Esav is the physical, mortal, flesh and blood Esav. And Rashi offered two interpretations of him, love and garti, and the Shalah Kodesh was perplexed because they're mutually exclusive and opposites one and the other. The answer is Shnei Pirushim Shal Rashi Heinemes. And now I'm not sure that Rashi would agree to this, but the Shalah wants to say that Rashi is based on Chazal, that Chazal were not trying to argue two mutually exclusive views here, but rather they're all one view and they're all emes. Why? Because on the one hand, when he's talking to Esav and he wants to build up Esav and he wants to sort of humble himself and say, Esav, it's not worth it for you to hate me, then he's medaber divrei hachna. And garti means that I'm a poshut ger, you know, I'm a sojourner, I'm a greener here. Nobody pays any attention to me. Ani k'day, ein cha k'day lisnosi. But to the malachim mamish, there we got to get into serious business over here. You know, the malachim are prosecuting against Yaakov in front of the heavenly court. What schus does Yaakov have? So Yaakov looks into his bag of merits, and what does he come up with? That I lived in the base laman for so many years, and yet tarik mitzvah shamarti. The gam romes im lavan garti. Ki ein olai chet shte achios ki im lavan garti v'hu b'chutz laretz. You see, I would have said something a little different. I would have said im lavan garti, and he tricked me to marry two wives. But maybe that's not a good answer, because then he could have divorced one of the two wives. So here, the shalah alludes to the Ramban's thesis that Yaakov was only married to two sisters in chutz laretz. And that's the Ramban's Shita, if you remember, that there's no mitzvah in chutzlaretz. It's all just tziyunim. It's all just preparation and exercise. So now, if you go to Florida, I don't know, I shouldn't tell you this, that all the mitzvahs you do in Florida are just exercises. But, you know, that's a little bit insulting, but, you know.
I need exercise, both.
Right. And you'll need the exercise when you get back in Eretz Hashem, Pesach time, Eretz Yisrael, so you'll be well-trained, you know, the system is well-oiled. Vahili Shar Vachamor. Okay, this is something that we haven't approached yet. You know, the opening line of Yaakov Avinu in his message to Esav is that he had Shar Vachamor, Tzon, V'Eved, V'Shivcha. What's that all about? So Rashi's interpretation is the following. Yaakov wants to impress upon Esav that you shouldn't hate me because I stole the brachas, because those brachas never were fulfilled. What was the essence of the bracha that Yitzchak bestowed upon Yaakov, thinking he's Esav, of course, is Mital HaShamayim. Where's the Mital HaShamayim? If you take a look at Shor V'Chamor, Mimonach Shach, don't fit into any category. Why? Because it's something physical, so it's not coming from Shamayim. And on the other hand, it's not Mishmani Aretz. You know, it's not something that grows from the ground. Okay, this is a whole pilpul, by the way, in the Magid Mishnah says that animals are called Gedulei Karka because they eat the grass from the ground. But let's say, leave out the Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah has a problem because there's no Mefarik, there's no Meleches Disha, unless it's Gedulei Karka, and yet we know there's Disha in animals. You know, if you milk a cow, you violate Meleches Disha. Anyway, leave that out. So the Shalor writes that we can really understand this parsha based on our thesis about the double confrontation of Yaakov and Esav. He says, Li Esav, Esav means down here in this world, the physical Esav, Kipshuto. Then we really should take it simply, the way Rashi took it simply, that all I have here is Shor V'Chamor, which is neither Mital HaShamayim nor Mishmani Aretz. However, l'shlichuso shalmala, but what about the angels that are sent up on high to protect the spirituality of Yaakov and claim that he's guiltless and that he lives up to the ideal vision of Yaakov in Shamayim? Romeis al kamon z'chuyos. Wow, this is something that I was totally unaware of. Maybe, gentlemen, you're scholars, greater scholars than I am, but I didn't realize that every word in this pasuk is a remez to a different schus of Yaakov in the spiritual sense, because Yaakov is really arguing on a spiritual level with the malache malo, with the samoel up on top. Number one, he says that Shar is Mashuach Milchama. Wow. That Shar is a hint to Yosef. It's in Parshas Vizosa Bracha, when Moshe Rabbeinu bestows a bracha on Yosef, he describes Yosef as a shar. He says, "Bechar shoro hadar lo." And again, you know, Yosef is called a bechar because he's a bechar to his mother Rachel, and the shar is symbolic of a leader that goes out to battle. Now, who's going to be the ultimate descendant of Yosef? Mashiach. Mashiach ben Yosef. There are two Mashiachs. There's Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be the Mashiach Milchama. He's in charge of fighting the physical battles against the enemies of the Jewish people. Shenemar Ani V'rochev Al Chamor. Okay. Mashiach ben David is already a different concept. The one who builds castles in the sky on this. I mean, Mamish, thesis after thesis is Rav Kook. You all heard of Rav Kook, the first chief rabbi of Palestine, before Kuma Medina. He has a whole thesis about why there has to be a Mashiach ben Yosef and a Mashiach ben David. And, you know, at the groundbreaking ceremonies of the Hebrew University, he said that this is the beginning of Mashiach ben Yosef, you know, whatever. So he goes on and he says the following. Chamar Zemelach HaMashiach. Already, this is the other Mashiach, the Mashiach that comes from David HaMelech. And he's going to come riding on a chamor. Tzon, oh beautiful. Elu Yisrael. Shenemar, and he quotes a pasuk in Yechezkel. I was a little perplexed by this. I thought he should have quoted the pasuk that we say in davening. What has to go, Mizmar? Anybody have a city here? Yes, and here there's a city. You don't even have to get up. Straight across on the door. Doesn't it call Anachnu Tzon Mariso? Doesn't David HaMelech call Klal Yisrael Tzon, which we say every morning in davening, except on Erev Pesach? It says here, Mizmar Lesoda. Do you remember that? It's between Hodu and Yichvod in the Nusuk Ashkenaz. And he says, describing Klal Yisrael, he says, Velo, with a Vav, Anachnu, Amo, we are his nation, Vitzon Mar Iso. That I thought would be the best pasuk to quote. But he, for some reason, prefers a pasuk in Yechezkel. It says, Vatain, we're going on to the top of the left column, Vatain Le Adoni, Tsoni Vitzon Mar Isi. Okay, so Klal Yisrael is called Tson. So Yaakov Avinu is claiming that he's the next chain in this glorious link that's going to give birth and generate Klal Yisrael that are called Tzon. So that's my great schus. The Eved v'Shivcha. But this Eved is not the Eved that he's, you know, the message of Shiflus that he's sending to Esau. This is the Eved who's the great Eved. Ke'enei avodim el yad adoneim. This is the ultimate Eved of Hashem. And he quotes other midrashim that Shar is Yosef, and Chamar is a reference to Yisachar, because the pasuk says at the end of Vayechi, Yisachar Chamar Garem, and Yisachar represents the Torah study. Uben beno shel Yosef omed lechalos es Amalek, because Yoshua comes from Yosef, and he's the one who's going to battle against Amalek. Ubanav shel Yisachar yodim asher Kadosh Baruch Hu oseh ba'olamo. Yisachar understands the divine supervision over the universe. Ubnei Yisachar yodei vino li'itim ladas mayas Yisrael. These are all the great zchuyos that Yaakov is presenting lemala. And then again, we're running out of time here, but if you take a look at number 33, then he is going to interpret what is the response of the Malachim. And when Yaakov Avinu hears about 400 army, soldiers strong, and that Esav is coming to battle him, it says Vayira Vayetzer. Yaakov has a double response, and we said there was a kefal lashon. He says Vayira is on one level, that Yira is always related to spirituality, as he proves here. Yira Sakavod Mitzad Chet, and Yaakov is afraid that maybe he doesn't live up to the standards, and he's always afraid of Chet. And then it says Vayetzer Lo. The word Vayetzer always refers to an adversary down here on this earth who's causing persecution and anguish against the person. Okay, so we got about 3/4 of the way there. The rest is your homework assignment. Unless you want to continue this on Tuesday, that's up to you. But you get the basic idea here. So again, just to review, my shiur had a threefold purpose today. First of all, to read the psukim carefully, and I never knew how much of a parshan the shalom was. Number two, to read Rashi carefully and really, critique Rashi. That itself, I think, is a very important lesson for us today. And number three, to see how the shalom, based on his mystical understanding of the two confrontations of Yaakov and Esav, the double meaning, to then try to put together all the psukim and answer all the questions. And we didn't get to all 10 of them, or 11 of them, or whatever the number was, but we did answer a whole bunch of them. And if you finish the material here, if you have a chance, you'll see how he answers all the other questions.
I'd love to hear what the Shla has to say about the wrestling match Yaakov had down here on earth with Samal, I guess.
Correct. He's going to define it on two levels. So, it's a physical wrestling match and it's a spiritual wrestling match. And it's all based on the various kefal lashon of the message that was sent with these two groups of malachim to Esau. All right, there, Rabosa, I'll take this opportunity to wish everyone a great week and a